This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Congratulations on getting through your 9 to 5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. You were listening in on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harris. I'm very happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. We got so much to get into. We'll talk about injuries right now for the Kansas City Chiefs. I'll play that audio for you guys here coming up in a bit. I want to share an opinion with you guys, and before you get mad, because I think you guys will get mad at this opinion, I want you to think about it and approach this topic with an open mind. And if you guys agree to do that, you know what? I'm happy to share this opinion. Now, I can't remember too many times or games that Travis Kelce had 2 catches for 8 yards and was basically a non-factor in the game, and it just wasn't really a story. Maybe the Chiefs win that game if Travis Kelce was more involved in the offense and Travis Kelce had played a little bit better. Now, this is not even me being critical of Travis Kelce. You guys will get this point here coming up in a bit. I only bring this up because I think that Travis Kelce has crossed over. Where Travis Kelce has crossed over where, for a time there, I think the Chiefs fans wore the streak like a badge of honor. You knew that you were watching the best tight end, not just in the league now, but maybe that the league has ever seen. You wanted to see Travis Kelce get all those accolades. You wanted him to make the Pro Bowl. You wanted him to be all pro. You wanted him to have the most consecutive 1,000-yard seasons because those numbers build your resume of being the best. Now that so many people consider Travis Kelce to be the best tight end, I think you guys have moved on from individual stats and you guys only care about postseason expectations. Has Travis Kelce become Frank Clark? Because it was not that long ago, I remember, that you guys felt this exact same way about Frank Clark. You did not care what Frank Clark did in the regular season. Frank Clark could have 5 sacks. He could have 0 sacks. You did not care. You didn't care what soundbite you got from Frank Clark. You didn't care about any of those things. All you wanted from Frank Clark was for you to stay healthy enough to the end of the season that you could put together 3 or 4 great games because postseason Frank Clark knew how to turn on a switch. Travis Kelce is no longer the best tight end in the National Football League. He is not going to be first team All-Pro this year or second pro this year. He's not going to get to 1,000 yards this year. You are not going to win your fantasy league because you drafted Travis Kelce. But you know what Travis Kelce can be? He can be a guy that has 900 yards this year. He can be a guy that has 4 or 5 touchdowns this year. But more importantly, he can be the difference maker and potentially turn on a switch to help you win in the postseason. So I don't say Frank Clark as a derogatory term. I just mean it that I think fan expectations toward Travis Kelce simply has changed. I don't think you guys care how he performs in the regular season anymore. It's not a talking point anymore. All you care about with Travis Kelce is how he plays and performs in January. isn't that exactly what happened to Frank Clark at the end? Like, we evaluate Patrick Mahomes on a week-by-week basis. We've talked a lot about the deep ball and what he needs to do to improve and how he needs to be better. We talk about corners. We talk about all of these guys. Travis Kelce has moved into a very different category. He's moved into a January-only player. Maybe he has 200 yards on Sunday against the Carolina Panthers. Maybe he has 17 yards against Carolina. You guys don't care. You guys are not moved by individual games from Travis Kelce anymore. So that's why I asked the question. Text line 913-586-7965. Again, I don't mean Frank Clark in a derogatory term. We knew that Frank had the ability every January to flip a switch and turn it on, and you knew that you were going to get the best version of that player, and that player was going to be a difference maker. I don't think you guys care how many yards Travis Kelce gets in the regular season anymore. The streak is gone from last year, and I think you guys know that he's not going to put up a 1,200, 1,300-yard season. I mean, he's had multiple games this season where he has had less than 10 yards receiving. He had one catch for 5 yards against Cincinnati early in the season. He had two catches for 8 yards against Buffalo. That will probably happen again between now and the end of the regular season. And it doesn't rate. Doesn't matter. I read Arrowhead Pride every Monday after a game, and they do this column called Winners and Losers that they tell you who had a good game, who had a bad game. Travis Kelce wasn't even on the list of losers. It just, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how he plays in these games, and that just feels a lot like Frank Clark to me. Do you think I'm off in this observation, Rob?
I don't, but I wonder if the way we view Travis Kelce about how it's kind of playoffs, wait till the playoffs, wait till you're in the playoffs, it's playoff time only. It is a symptom of the larger disease. I feel like Chiefs fans are unlike any other fan in the NFL. I think there are 31 teams that care immensely about the regular season. Even good teams care immensely about the regular season. I don't think Chiefs fans do. And maybe I'm using the text line as my, you know, tool here, and that's a bad barometer. But Carrington, what did you see on the text line Monday? Because what I saw was a lot of, oh, they're just sandbagging. Oh, they wanted to see what Buffalo would do. Oh, they're just testing stuff out. Don't worry, when the real season starts, that's when they'll turn on. And I think that's how Chiefs fans operate, and it applies to Travis Kelce. Kelce could have no catches for no yards on one target on Sunday, and the Chiefs could win an ugly 17-6 game, and people would just say, well, they don't care about the regular season. I don't care about the regular season. Travis Kelce doesn't care about the regular season. Wake me in the postseason. And I wonder, and I have wondered this before, if last year the fact that Chiefs were just mediocre in the regular season and it didn't seem to matter has made fan interest in the team and individual players during the regular season a non-starter. And that's another reason why I think fans don't really care that Patrick Mahomes isn't having an MVP season or that he's not going to win MVP, because they don't care about the first 18 weeks of the year. They think, ooh, cool, we raised the banner on September, whatever that date was. Wake me when it's January, whatever. That's when it's go time.
Is that not what we did with Frank Clark? I mean, I don't disagree with what you're saying is. I'm saying is, you remember, we used to have these arguments about Frank Clark. Hey, why is he not getting more pressure? Why is he not involved? Why does he not have more sacks? And for the last 2 years of Frank Clark's career, it was, we don't care about that. We know Frank's going to be ready for the postseason. That's all we care about, is how he's going to be in the postseason. I don't want to hear about Frank Clark until the end of it. The text line is mad, like, hey, why are you even talking about this? The best player, the best skill position player on their team had 8 yards. We don't care about it. I actually want them to lean into this more. I think Kelce plays too much. Like, if you were telling me, the text line is saying, well, he's using the decoy now, play him less then. Out of every player on their offense that is not on the offensive line or Travis or Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce has played the most. He has played in 566 of their 689 snaps. I've done the math for you guys. That's good for 82%. Then start playing Noah Gray more for right now. Start playing Noah Gray. Move Noah Gray up. Now Noah Gray is playing 80% of the snaps, and I would really, really coast to the end with Travis Kelce. The best thing that happened last year for the Chiefs was Travis Kelce didn't play that last game of the season. He was a completely different player after they gave him rest. So if you're telling me that the regular season isn't super important, then why is Travis Kelce on the field for 80% of the snaps? Why is Travis Kelce playing? I mean, the other skill position player, Rob, is Xavier Worthy at 63%. He plays 20% more than every other skill position player on the Chiefs. Why? Then dial his usage back. Use him 55, 60% of the time. Treat him like how they're doing D-Hop. D-Hop played in 50% of the snaps. Bring those two guys along at the exact same pace. You're not worried about Travis Kelce being ready for the postseason. You're worried about Travis Kelce taking as little punishment and as few tackles as possible. If you don't care about his numbers anymore and his production, then cool, lean into it. Play him 60% of the snaps. Play him like he's Noah Gray. Let Noah Gray get a little bit more. Start to prepare Noah Gray for life after Travis Kelce and really coast this thing down the final 6 weeks of the season.
If you feel that way, what's stopping you at just Hopkins and Kelce? Why not load management? All the players are important. Because, let's be honest, the story of the 2024 Chiefs season is injuries. And injuries, you know, they're not like, if they just correct this, they'll stop getting injured. Injuries are just kind of a fluky occurrence. If you are of the belief, I'm not saying you personally, but if you on the text line like, yeah, let's ice Kelce down and have him for the postseason. Why is Chris Jones out there? Chris Jones isn't playing any. He's a 30-plus-year-old D-tackle. What's he playing snaps against the Panthers for? What's he playing snaps against the Browns for? Have him standing next to Joe Cullen, the D-line coach, and getting ready for the postseason. Hey, the Chiefs have had a lot of injuries in the secondary. Why not ice McDuffie down and get more reps for those guys so they can get ready? I think you're right. I think they could pare down Kelce, but I think if you start doing that, it becomes a slippery slope, and then what fans already think is happening would be literally happening with the Chiefs treating the regular season like the preseason. It's a few reps and mostly protection.
So that is just my thought. Text line 913-586-7965. You guys are certainly allowed to agree or disagree with my take. I just was thinking more about how Travis Kelce played on Sunday and the lack of reaction to it. And it just kind of feels to me like what happened with Frank Clark. You guys don't care about regular season production anymore. It is simply, you know, he's going to be ready for the postseason. You know, he's going to ball out in the postseason. So you don't care if Travis Kelce has 600 yards or 1,200 yards, as long as he performs there at the end. That's kind of how we treated Frank Clark at the end. And it made a lot of sense to me. All right, I want to play a couple pieces of audio for you guys before we get to the hits. Let me pull it up here. All right, let's start with this, Rob. This is Andy Reid earlier. Speaking of kind of coasting to the finish line, Isaiah Pacheco practiced today. Charles Omenihu also practiced today. If I was the head coach of the Chiefs, neither of those individuals would play on Sunday against the Carolina Panthers.
Just how you could employ both of them.
Yeah, we'll find a way. Both of them are good players, so we'll find a way to get both of them in if and when that takes place. So, but you know, that's a good problem to have.
I'm just telling you what I would do if I was Andy Reid and I'm the coach of the Chiefs. You got to really show me what the benefits are of playing Isaiah Pacheco on Sunday against Carolina. You got to show me the benefits of playing Charles Omenihu on Sunday against Carolina, because I don't think that there's a whole lot of benefits for him. And I think this is a scenario where the risk outweighs the reward of playing those guys in that game. This is how I would handle it if I'm the Chiefs. The Chiefs have a short week coming up against the Raiders because the game's on Black Friday. I would get Isaiah Pacheco ready for that game. I'd do everything I'm doing the same. Give Kareem Hunt his 15 to 18 touches on Sunday, continue to use him, and then on Black Friday, you bring him back. Pacheco and Omenihu, if he can go, and he's practicing, so you got to think he's getting very, very close to being able to play. You play those guys in the Black Friday game. You give each of them extra time to prepare. So the Chiefs, they play on the 29th of November, and then their next game isn't until the 8th of December. So you get a little bit more than 7 days to get guys healthy and get guys right. You get Saturday as a recovery day, Sunday as a recovery day, Monday and Tuesday, and everybody comes back to work on Wednesday. So you give Isaiah Pacheco some opportunities, some snaps, some touches on the Black Friday game. Same thing with Charles Omenihu. They get extra time to prepare, and I start to ramp them up once we get back from our mini bye, and they play Sunday night football against the Los Angeles Chargers. That's a legitimate team. That's a team that's probably going to make the postseason, a team that played you pretty tough the last time, a team that's played you pretty tough the last 4 or 5 years or so, and you try to have those guys as close to full strength as you can for that game and for a pretty important stretch. After they get through these next 2 weeks against teams that are going to pick in the top eight, they play the Chargers, then they have a pretty difficult stretch. They play 3 games in 10 days. So I would try to get those two guys more prepared for that portion of the season than trying to get them ready for Carolina. Now, maybe you would have those two guys play because they did practice last week if you were playing a team that you were – if they were playing Minnesota, for example, sure, I would have those guys potentially go out there against Minnesota. But I just don't really know the positives of having Isaiah Pacheco get carries against Carolina if you know you got a division game coming up and you can still get him 6 weeks of work. They still have 6 games after the Carolina game. That's how I would play it if I'm the Chiefs.
I would do the same, but I wonder – with Pacheco, I'd be very, very slow to bring him back because they, while I think they need him for the offense to get dynamic again, I think they have a little bit of a survive in advance and they can keep making it work with Kareem Hunt. I wonder, though, about Charles Omenihu. I wonder if the problems we are seeing with their defensive line are maybe having the Chiefs put him on a more accelerated timeline than me and you have. Because what was one of the major talking points coming out of the Bills loss? It was the fact that they couldn't get home before. We have the cut in the system. Mitch Holtis said it was real bad. Like, they were unable to get home with 4 players. We've talked about it multiple times this season. They have struggled to get home before. Josh Uche, however you say it, basically didn't play, so he didn't help. Felix Anudike Uzama is a redshirt year again, I guess. He's just not out there. And Mike Dana and George Karlaftis aren't as good as they were last year. Like, I have a concern about Omenihu's return because of the injury and the timeline. But at what point, if you're the coaching staff, do you say we have to see if Omenihu can solve these problems more so than we have to worry about easing him back into the fold?
Yeah, I get what you're asking. I guess my biggest thing is I would feel different about this Carolina game if Isaiah Pacheco was coming back and they had 2 regular season games left. Like, you're kind of running out of time here to kind of get guys ready. That's why when we get to the conversation about Hollywood Brown, and I do want to play the audio coming up, whenever Hollywood can come back, I'm willing to take him. He's missed a lot of things. He didn't get a preseason. He hasn't been practicing with the team. He just hasn't been available so far this year. So whenever you can get Hollywood onto the field and ease him into things and get him practicing and get him ready, I am all for, because we think he's coming back a little bit later. I'm looking at the Houston game as a realistic timetable. I asked a question earlier to Josh Briscoe. If I set the over-under right now on games played for Hollywood Brown at 2.5, what would you take? I would take the over. I think he's going to play in the Houston game on the 21st. I think he plays on Christmas, and then I think he plays some in the Broncos game. I think he needs more reps than anything. But you're going to get Isaiah Pacheco back still in November. You got all of December, I think, to kind of get him. And I just think that running back is a very different position because you're trying to preserve guys' health and keep them fresh, especially with Isaiah Pacheco's run style. This is a guy that runs angry, a guy that runs mean. I'm not really trying to put him in the way of taking hits that you don't have to take. That's why you got Kareem Hunt. Nobody thinks that Kareem Hunt is a long-term answer for Kansas City, that he's going to be on the team in 2 years. No, you understand what this is. So keep using him while he's been super productive and keep considering this borrowed time, so to speak. I don't know when this thing's going to end for Kareem Hunt. Maybe it doesn't end this year. You can ride this thing all the way to New Orleans in the Super Bowl. But if you can steal a week like we all think they can this week against Carolina, then steal a week. Have Kareem Hunt get 17 carries this week, get his 85 yards, score his anytime touchdown. You win this game 27-14, and let's move on to a game in the division on Black Friday. That's not a game I'm worried about Kansas City's focus. The last time that Vegas came to Kansas City, they beat you on Christmas. They ruined a holiday for you last year. Now you get them around another holiday. I think Kansas City comes in focus, and I think we're going to see a really good Chiefs team heading into that game. I want to play one more cut from Andy Reid. This is him talking about Hollywood. I think Hollywood's coming back.
I can't tell you time when he'll be back, but he's another one that is excited to get back out here and get going. So I appreciate the way he's approached this whole thing.
For those of you that are Missouri fans, you'll understand the analogy that I'm about to make. I remember whenever there was like swirlings around Michael Porter on if he was going to come back or not. He got hurt in the game against Iowa State, and you knew he wasn't coming back quick. But in the second half, as we got closer to the conference tournament, there were just more and more whispers, hey, Mike wants to play. Mike wants to come back. Mike is going to play this year. People thought that he was going to play in the final game at Mizzou Arena. He ended up not playing. He ended up playing for the first time back in the second half of the season in the SEC tournament. I get a lot of that same vibe from Hollywood Brown. The Chiefs have had an opportunity to end this conversation about Hollywood at every single turn if he's not coming back. They're not talking like this about Rashee Rice. They're not talking about this with Jalen Watson because I don't think either one of those players are coming back. But with Hollywood, it's a little bit different. It happened the first week in the preseason. So that was, what, early August, mid-August. We're now in the middle of November. If this is a four-month injury, that would put you back around Christmas. I mean, if you come back around Christmas and you can play in three regular season games, you get 5-6 weeks of practice time to get you ready for their first playoff game whenever or wherever that could possibly be, I think you would take that from Hollywood Brown. So if you were asking me today, are you optimistic? Are you hopeful? The answer for me would be yes. I think we are going to see Hollywood practice in a couple of weeks. They just keep talking about it too much. And the Chiefs, I think we know, they're usually pretty tight to the vest. They're usually pretty conservative on these things and don't really give you a lot of information or hope. I think they've given you a lot of hope and reason to think that Hollywood Brown is going to come back. Now, I have no clue what he's going to look like when he gets back, but if you've been keeping up with your cardio, if you've been keeping up with your with all the other things that you can do and you've kept your head in the playbook, I don't know why you can't come back. Sure, there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve. You haven't played a whole lot of snaps in this offense, and everybody else has been playing football for 4 months, and you haven't been. So I'm not expecting you to come in and be the Hollywood that we thought we were going to see at the very beginning of the year. But even the version of Hollywood they could get at the end of the season, he is still the second best wide receiver that they have.
I also think he needs to, if he's going to be an actual weapon in the postseason, and like a guy that they will, you know, make draw plays for, hey, go get us, you know, 5 yards, it's 3rd and 7. Hey, we're going to have you be our deep. If you are of the belief that you think Hollywood Brown is going to be part of the game plan in the postseason, he plays a position where he needs rhythm and timing with the quarterback. He and the quarterback have played one competitive is a loose term, but one snap against a different opponent at all this calendar year. It was the first snap of the preseason against the Jags. So, for a position that I keep hearing about how timing and feel is so important, and that's why Mahomes and Worthy aren't quite there yet, and that's why Mahomes and Hardman took a while to get there. For a position like that, I think if you're going to be of the belief Hollywood Brown can be an added bonus in the postseason, you need him at that over 2.5 number. You need him at 2 games with Patrick Mahomes. He needs to know when you run this route, Mahomes likes this, because you can't be working through those things in the postseason. The teams are too good.
No, I'm with you. Coming up on the other side, I do want to play one thing that Patrick Mahomes said when you mentioned timing. He was asked again about Xavier Worthy. I do want to play for you what he had to say. And you know what? I believe Patrick. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited 3 members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event.
BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I know I said we were going to talk about Xavier Worthy. I promise you that we will. This is more important. A staple of our childhood is going away next year. The New York Post is reporting that ESPN is canceling Around the Horn. After 23 years on the network, summer of 2025, we will get the final episodes of Around the Horn. Now, I don't know about you, but I had a pretty strict regimen of television that I would watch when I would come home from school. You might watch a little 106 and Park on BET. You might watch a little TRL on MTV. But you know what you were always going to watch at 4 o'clock right before the 5 o'clock Sports Center? You were always going to get you a little bit of Around the Horn, and you were always going to get you a little bit of PTI. And this carried for me through my college years of watching Around the Horn and PTI. Rob, this saddens me. This was one of my favorite shows on ESPN. I love the back and forth, the banter. You remember Woody Page would have that sign in the back with always a little witty saying on there, Stat Boy. Well, we are entering the final act of Around the Horn as ESPN is set to cancel the popular show.
We're losing recipes, man. There was a time where you get home from school and that 4 o'clock Around the Horn would hit, and then that 4:30 PTI right into that 5 o'clock Sports Center, and it was just a power hour plus of great television. And now, I'm sure it'll be some debate show, and it'll be great. You know, maybe we can extend Pat McAfee and just have him do another hour. I mean, it'll be fun. I mean, we're going to lose PTI eventually, and it's going to be just a sad day for the old four-letter network.
Someone says, what are they going to put on now? I have no clue what they're going to put on. I'm not sure what the answer is, but I do know that we are not going to have Around the Horn anymore. That's one of those shows that I don't really know anybody that dislikes Around the Horn. It's a good show. Someone on the text line says the show hasn't been good for a decade. It's the exact same show. They have the same people on there. The same host, the same television columnists. They just talk about the events of the day in 30 minutes, and then they move on. I don't know how the quality of the show could really dip. I haven't watched a whole lot of Around the Horn. I kind of worked during that time, but it was the same show. I like that show.
I mean, the guests have changed a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, they got new people on there.
Yeah, I mean, like, I mean, what, every once in a while they show Woody Page. Woody Page is...
Shout out to him. I used to like J.A. Adonde on there. He was good. Remember when Jay Mariotti used to be on there back in the day? Yeah, shout out to Jay Mariotti. Where's Jay Mariotti at,
man? Didn't he get in trouble for something recently?
Yeah, I think he might have been Mr. Nasty. I think that's a possibility that he was Mr. Nasty. Allegedly. Let me say allegedly, because I'm not 100% sure if he was being Mr. Nasty, but I know he was doing something inappropriate.
I think Deadspin had a story, and if Deadspin, also RIP, had a story about you, it's probably not a positive story.
Someone on the text line says, I call it right now the Jason Kelce hour. I don't really want them to use Jason Kelce in that way. Maybe I am limiting Jason Kelce. I don't know why they just don't make him like Marshawn Lynch. Just have Jason Kelce go around the country and just do really cool things. Have Jason Kelce, when they're in Philadelphia, have him go to an Amish community and have him make bread. That's what I want to, that's the kind of stuff that I want to see Jason Kelce doing. I wish they do that a little bit more than how they're using Jason Kelce, but what do I know, man? But that's what I would like to see them do. All right, I want to play this for you guys. If you guys just tuned in, we were just talking about Around the Horn. It is about to end. We have maybe six more months left of Around the Horn. All right, let me play for you guys what Patrick Mahomes had to say. He met with the media earlier today to talk about the offense. He talked a little bit about Tyquan Thornton. I'll play that for you really quickly while I find the Xavier Worthy audio. Here he is talking about Tyquan Thornton. He was recently cut from the New England Patriots. Now he plays for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, in season, haven't watched a ton of film on him, but just from the highlights that I have seen, I mean, a ton of big playability. Someone that is a big frame. I didn't realize how tall he was until he got in the building. I'm excited to see him on the practice field working, and I'm sure guys like Carson and them will give him chances downfield, and we'll get to see that speed. And so a lot of talent, a lot of ability, and I think it'll be good to get him worked in within the offense and see what he can do.
To me, this Tyquan Thornton move, this is the Veach special. I wouldn't put a whole lot of stock into this move. If it works, great. If it doesn't work, well, okay, whatever. You didn't really spend anything to acquire this player. He's on the practice squad. He might be a player that we never talk about again. He might be a guy that ends up making the roster for this team later down the line or next year. But as of now, I don't think there's really much reason to talk about him. He's a guy that was spent on a second-round pick a few years back. It did not work in New England. He now gets a change of scenery. Let's see how he adapts. Let's see what he does. And he seems like a guy that we'll probably have more conversation about next year at training camp than we are right now. All right, I want to play for you guys what Patrick had to say about Xavier Worthy. Here he is.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've seen as the season's gone on that he's playing faster. He has more confidence. It's about me being on the same page as him. And, I mean, I can sit here and we can practice it all we want, but until we start doing it in the game, there's nothing much more that I can really say about it. But I'm excited for it. I believe it's going to start happening. And once it starts happening, the offense is going to really take off.
There's two ways I think you can look at this thing. I think there's way number one. You can look at this very much glass half empty. Everything he just said about Xavier Worthy, I could play you questions I've asked him about Xavier Worthy, questions he has been asked by the media about Xavier Worthy, and he has given the same answer for 6 weeks. So if you don't think that that is going to happen, okay, that's fine. You're entitled to feel that way. If you want to look glass half empty at this thing for a young guy who is getting a shot, okay, that's fine. Or if you want to look at it glass half full, I think some of the issues could be simply fixed by him just getting better near the sideline. Now, I'm not saying that Mahomes couldn't throw a better deep ball, but he threw a pretty good deep ball to him against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Xavier Worthy just ran out of bounds. I think he threw certainly a catchable ball in the game against Buffalo, and Xavier Worthy had to get his feet down. If you just helped him have better field awareness and keep both feet in bounds, you could probably add 100 yards to what he's done so far this season, and I think we're having a very different conversation about it. Now, shoulda, coulda, wouldas, ifs and buts, I get all of those things. I think they're close. I really do. I think they're close. I'm not saying they're going to connect that 100% of the time. We watch the NFL. No one's just connecting all the time on deep passes, but my biggest thing is, are you giving Xavier Worthy a chance to make a play? In the Broncos game, he didn't give him a chance to make a play. He threw it out of bounds. He had him wide open. If he had thrown a ball that was comparable to the one that he threw in Buffalo, that would have been a touchdown. He gave him a chance. Sure, it was not a 100% perfect ball. It was a catchable ball that you got to come down with as an NFL player. So I'm going to look at this thing continued half full. Now, I don't know if this is looking at things half empty or not, but I've heard a lot of people say this over the last couple weeks or so. Well, look at what happened to Rashee Rice last year. We think something similar is going to happen to Xavier Worthy. I think that could be a little bit of a dangerous exercise because they didn't really have anybody else to throw the football to. What you expect with this team is I think guys' roles are going to expand. Juju is going to be more involved in the offense in the second half than he was the first half. They didn't have DeAndre Hopkins like they have now. So we're talking about two guys that are going to be ahead of him in the pecking order. You also are expected to add Hollywood Brown at some point over the next month or so. So I understand why people are saying, well, look at what happened to Rashee Rice. Look at his second half. And we think something similar can happen to Xavier Worthy. I'm not sure if he's going to get the volume and have the targets and opportunities the way that we saw Rashee Rice get. I just don't think it's going to be there because I don't think that's going to be his role in the pecking order when it comes to the offense. I think Worthy's going to have to kind of wait his turn just a little bit. Like, I'm looking at the second half of the season, for Rashee Rice. So it really was a line. It was the Eagles game. In the Eagles game, for whatever reason, I don't know, they just didn't really use him enough. That was the game where Justin Watson had 11 targets, and you should never throw the ball to Justin Watson 11 times in an NFL game. But after that, they started using Rashee Rice correctly. He got 10 targets against Las Vegas, 9 against Green Bay. He got 10 against Buffalo, 9 against the Patriots, 12 against the Las Vegas Raiders, and 6 against Cincinnati. And then he got 12 targets in the Miami game. He got 8 in the Super Bowl. Like, they really started dialing up the usage for Rashee Rice. He got 33 targets in the playoffs over the 4 games. I just don't think that's what Xavier Worthy's usage is going to be. So I think we could see improvement in Worthy. Don't mistake what I'm saying. It's just not going to look like the same level of improvement that we saw with Rashee Rice, because the workload isn't going to be there. We're talking about a guy that got force-fed opportunities in the second half. I just don't think that's going to be the case. That's about to be a way more crowded skill position room here. Now you got to figure out a way to manage Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco, and you're going to have to work in possibly 3 other pass catchers with D-Hop getting more and more usage. He only played 47% of the snaps on Sunday. Juju, who was a non-factor really in the offense, and we also think they're going to add Hollywood Brown. So improvement is going to happen with Xavier Worthy. I think it's just going to be a little bit different than people expect. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, back in on The Drive. Carrington here, Rob here, taking you up until 6 o'clock. We appreciate you guys listening to the show. We haven't talked a lot of college basketball. It's November. I understand that this time is for the hardcore fans, so we haven't talked a whole lot about it. I have watched KU play now 2 times. I saw them play North Carolina. I've seen them play Michigan State. I watched the first half of their game yesterday. I've watched a little bit of K-State, just a little bit of Missouri, too. I watched their game against Memphis. I'm not really interested in watching you play teams that aren't that good, at least not for a prolonged period of time. So maybe what I'm about to say about K-State comes with a little bit of an asterisk. This Coleman Hawkins kid, the big guy they got from Illinois, he's off to a little bit of a rough start. I think the worst thing to happen to him was every time he does something, people are going to tell you how much money you make. That used to not happen to college students. We would kind of wink, wink, and joke about it. But to me, that story felt very purposeful, why somebody put that out there. We know a lot. Every college basketball player that you are watching is getting paid in some way. Every single one. Yes, even at the mid-major level, they're getting paid in some UMKC has NIL dollars. You're not playing this game anymore if you're not breaking the students off of something. Now, it's obviously degrees to it. Some guys might be getting gift cards to places while some guys are getting paid in cash money. But trust me, every college basketball player you are watching is getting paid. We are not discussing the payment for all of those players. Right now, locally, we are just discussing it with one. I have no clue how much Hunter Dickinson is getting. I assume a lot. He's the best player in college basketball. I assume he's getting paid a lot. But every time that Coleman kid does something, it's, oh, we paid $2 million for this. Oh, you are a millionaire because of this. I think it was the worst thing to happen to that kid. I really do. I think whoever put that story out there did a disservice. The little bit I've seen of him this year, he just plays uptight, and I don't really think that he's playing very free. Now, maybe I'm off. K-State fans, certainly tell me. And I will watch more K-State as they start playing real teams. But I'm sorry, I'm not watching y'all play Mississippi Valley State. I care about my life too much to do that. Certainly while the Celtics are playing no chance. Not doing that. But that's what I think is happening with K-State. I think they got to sit that kid down somewhere and they got to get him to turn out the noise. Because the noise really only seems to be directed at him on the team. It ain't really directed at nobody else right now, the team, and they're not playing good as a whole. They did not play well against LSU, and they were in a fight for 30 minutes last night against Mississippi Valley State. Ain't that where Jerry Rice went? You shouldn't be in a fight with the school that Jerry Rice went to. That's not how this should work.
I agree with what you're saying. I also think K-State's trying to do something, and he's probably part of the problem here. K-State trying to do something that, like, I know on paper we talk about, oh, that'll work. But Carrington, their whole team is transfers and freshmen. Like, they just, there's no continuity. Like, the one guy they brought back is their best player. Outside of that, can you name four cats? I mean, me and you probably can because we're more of the hardcores. But, like, when you piece together your team in the portal and then as a recruiting class, it's not hitting the ground running. I think we're learning in the portal and NIL era, you got to have a baseline. You got to have a foundation. You got to have some pillars and then use the portal to bring in to pieces around that. But trying to build ground up from the portal is not working right now in Manhattan, and Coleman Hawkins is the face of it not working. I'd also say, yes, the noise getting to him, him fighting that kid at LSU did not help the cause. Yeah. I mean,
he's
avoidable.
He's just reacting very emotional right now. That's how it comes off to me. He is reacting very emotional right now, and I can imagine if you are hearing that every time you get on your phone when you don't do something, I just can see how that can bother you a little bit. I don't want to demonize the portal because your team, Kansas, they went in that portal hard. Now, they had a much better foundation. If you're returning KJ Adams, DeJuan Harris, and Hunter Dickinson, and that's your base, but basically everybody else around those three individuals, they went and they attacked the portal. I just think it's going to take some time with K-State. It's going to take a little bit of time. It's early on in the season. Losing to LSU is certainly not the worst thing that can happen. You will be fine. I know you want to win those games. It's a home game. It's a team against a Power 5 opponent. You didn't play that well. Trust me, it is fine. You will have more than enough opportunities in the Big 12 to turn things around after that. Coming up in just a few weeks, you will have a chance to kind of overcome that. So let's just get back to focusing. Let's play our brand of basketball. Let's get back going.
I actually disagree. They should continue to spiral. I've been a big fan of the spiral.
All right. Here you go. They play Wichita State.
Loss.
Well, you think they're losing? No. They play St. John's.
Talk about a team that's not playing the portal game. Wichita State has no talent.
Oh, they're bad?
They're bad, yeah.
I'm probably going to see them play Friday. They play at T-Mobile Center.
Mm-hmm.
I feel weird calling it. It's Sprint Center. I don't know.
No, what do you call it? Azura? What are you doing over there?
Yeah, Sandstone. Yeah, Sandstone. So I just wanted to give you guys a little college basketball before we get out of here. All right, I'm out of here. Take care of yourself. Have a good rest of your day. We'll catch you guys tomorrow. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.